You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and because it's time for Main Street Eats, Sue Belcom.
Sue joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. And Sue, it is the first day of April. Did you check all your sugar containers and make sure they weren't salt all of a sudden?
Oh, no. Boy, that is, yeah.
That's classic April Fool.
It is, and it's in the restaurants, too, when people do that, too. They take the salt shaker cap and they loosen it up. Mm-hmm. So when you pick it up, you're, like, dousing your food. People aren't very nice, you know.
That happened to me as a Cub Scout. I was out for a troop meeting. We were at a restaurant in Detroit Lakes. I ordered a hamburger. I needed a little salt. Guess what somebody had done?
Yeah.
Those things never leave you. That scars you for life.
Right?
And salt is a really difficult thing to get rid of once it's been applied, you know?
Right. So. When you're a kid, too, you're not going to send your food back.
Heck no. You were probably ravenous. But now that I think about it, if you do have a really salty soup, if you put some potato in there, like peel a whole potato and put it in there, that absorbs some of the salt so that you don't have such a salty soup. Tidbit of the day for April Fools.
Yeah, save us from all our April Fool's Day trials and tribulations here.
I got nailed good on April Fools of just last year, and I still feel like an F-O-O-L. It was like, you know, I'm big into herbs and I study natural plants and their medicinal things and their dye qualities and stuff. So I use that, I use a particular kind of natural deodorant. The name escapes me at the moment, but they sent out this email and apparently I didn't know what day it was because it said that it was their new fragrance or their new ingredient was poison ivy. And I'm like, what? They found some useful thing to do with poison ivy? And I mean, I tried all day to order this stuff and it wouldn't work. This is not funny. I finally contacted the company and I'm like, I've been trying all day to order this poison ivy deodorant. And she's like, oh God, I'm so sorry, dear. But that was an April Fool's joke. We never really did that. I was like, my face is still red, I swear. Or maybe my armpits are still red.
When businesses get into it.
Because I guess you never think about that a business would be pulling your leg. But these people have a good sense of humor. So they're probably telling people about that this week. They're probably going, you know, last year we did this and we can't do it this year because we had some dumb broad from North Dakota wanted to order some poison ivy deodorant.
If I were that company, I'd put you in a social media ad campaign. So I would.
Miss Gullible, North Dakota. Jeez. Okay, your turn, Ashley. Come on. You must have gotten something.
Man. Gosh, I'm sure I have as a kid, you know, definitely like the pranks. Oh, the saran wrap on the toilet. I definitely, that happened. I had an older brother, so that. I know. That one's gross. That one is actually legit gross. I feel like we should veto that one.
I think so, too. But, you know, speaking of saran wrap, when I worked at the church, it worked with a lot of young people, you know, and they were used to ski trips and things with the church youth. And so I came to work that day and my laptop was saran wrapped shut. Mm. And so I had to unwrap it and I plugged it in and then I was like, well, I can't open this up. So then I unwrapped it. I couldn't get that thing to work nearly the whole day till we figured out that the power cord was covered with saran wrap. So when you stuck it in the port, you know, it had taken on the saran wrap. So until we figured out we'd take that saran wrap off, there had no power. So it was like, that's not very nice to do. You can ruin things like that.
If I could just steer this container ship through the Suez Canal carefully here.
I think they're looking for new people to do that.
Yeah, and bigger equipment, dog. Good luck.
Well, we call this a segment of the show Main Street Eats.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I forgot. No. Okay, so then that brings me to the chocolate chip cookie thing that when we were kids, we were always scrounging for food. You know, it wasn't as readily available in our household as it currently is. And so I made chocolate chip cookies probably for the first time ever. I used my mom's recipe. She told me they turned out beautiful. They looked fabulous. But we wouldn't eat them because I used pancake flour instead of regular flour when I made them. And they tasted just fine, but it was the idea in my head that I had screwed up these cookies, you know, using pancake flour.
It seems like
which
they would be fluffier.
Right. Or maybe they just had a little bit too much baking soda taste. Have you ever done that? Oh, yeah. Like last Christmas when I was like going to make some sugar cookies for tasting at our last farmer's market so that I could sell some for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I must have been like, I must have been busy because I put baking soda instead of baking powder in, and it gives your cookies a really icky acid sort of taste. Would be one thing that you don't want to do. But
I one time used like a lemon, I think, or some kind of citrus flavored olive oil making brownies, and that was not. They were not good. Yeah.
And this sugar cookie recipe is like the world's easiest sugar cookie recipe. So I gave it to my friend at church, and she came into church the next day and she's like, "You're not going to believe this, but I ruined your easiest sugar cookie in the world recipe." I'm like, how could
you?
You'd
written it down wrong even.
No, she put mint extract instead of vanilla and almond in there. So they were minty sugar cookies.
That's kind of fun.
They'll eat anything in an office.
Well, that happens.
She didn't have any trouble getting rid of them.
But there are some really common baking mistakes that happen. And there's this chart, actually. If you just Google it, I think you can just Google, like, cookie too much comparison, and it gives 6 or 8 cookies, and it says this is what happens if you have too much baking soda, too much baking powder, if your butter is chilled, if your butter has been melted. And you can tell by the shape of the cookie. Sometimes they get burned, sometimes they just kind of get ooze, sometimes they're, you know, absolutely perfect, like this is the bakery version. What are the most common mistakes that home cooks are making?
Well, first of all, I was surprised that they had a chart like that. Second of all, I was surprised at how many different charts like that they had for people. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, are you serious? Everything I learned by trial and error, because I never, ever, no matter what, made a chocolate chip cookie with the Nestle Toll House cookie recipe that we didn't end up eating. However, you're absolutely right about the things that can go wrong. And really, a common mistake that people make is not chilling their dough when they're done mixing the cookie. Because if you use butter, which I highly recommend because butter gives it a little more caramely flavor, and a slightly different look. You know, when you're frying potatoes and they don't get brown, it's because you got too much oil and not enough butter in there. Because butter is what will give them a really nice, brown, crispy potato and cookie. So, and I love butter. And oh my gosh, you guys, I'm down to like 2 pounds of butter in my house. And
I'm
in a state of panic.
Well, you mentioned the difference, the different kinds of flour, you know, pancake flour or regular flour, butter or another kind of oil or a combination, sugar, is it white, is it brown? There are only so many variables in a chocolate chip cookie.
Right, but you know, brown sugar has a little more molasses in it than white sugar does, and that's what gives it, and I use the dark brown sugar. which definitely gives you a more caramely taste to your cookie. Mm. And I don't very often make that Toll House cookie recipe because I find that it usually flattens out the way they've got that recipe written. And that could be because sometimes if you have trouble like that, you should not use 100% butter. But if you use half vegetable shortening, the solid stuff, and half butter in that recipe, you will get a little bit firmer cookie. And you won't affect the flavor too much. I really like the fact that they taste vanilla. You know, you can taste the vanilla in a Toll House cookie recipe, whereas my mom's recipe is a crisper cookie that is higher and rounder than the Toll House one. Have you ever made Toll House cookies and found them over the whole pan when you pull them out of the oven?
I've definitely made, yeah, like accidentally enormous cookies.
Right. And if they're lacy around the edges, brown and lacy around the edges, your butter definitely was not cold enough when you mixed it.
Oh.
Definitely. It separates from the flour. So I always, always chill my cookie dough recipe. Always. In fact, freezing those cookie balls, you know, like you make the dough, then you scoop them out, make them into balls and freeze them. That's really a surefire way to get a better looking cookie. And I've never met one that I didn't like the way it tastes. So I don't care what you put in there, except if you put too much baking soda in there, because soda and baking powder are the leavening agents,
right?
And so is the salt. That adds a little bit to it too, so don't skip the salt. I have heard many times that baking is a science,
it
and
is,
that you should
yeah.
accurately measure everything out, but it's not that scientific at my house.
Well, a lot of the cookie science, if you will, has to do with the feel, you know. Is it soft? Is it chewy? Mm-hmm. Is it crumbly? Is it crisp? People have different likes, you know. And I've seen chocolate chip cookies that are very popular that are advertised as crisp.
Right. And I'm like, get those away from me. I want the chewy ones.
Let's vote. Chewy for me. Chewy for Ashley. Yep. How about you, Doug?
I'm going crisp.
You're going
crisp, being a contrarian, yeah.
I went in search of the best chocolate chip cookie recipe ever, and I found one. And it's very simple to make. You definitely need a scale because it's European. It comes from a website called The Weekend Bakery. It's called The Perfect Chocolate Chip Cookie. Hmm. However, there is one thing wrong with it. Ugh.
Does
so
it
disgusting.
Only make like 12?
10 cookies.
Oh, it only makes get out of here.
Oh my gosh, you guys, this cookie recipe, and you got to find it and try it. This is the perfect chewy, buttery, crisp on the outside, just the right amount of chocolate, because of course it uses chopped up chocolate instead of just chocolate chips, which nowadays you can buy like dark chocolate chips,
mm-hmm.
which are my new fave. But this cookie recipe is so divine that, you know, you take it out of the oven and you're just standing over the top of it watching for fingers with a butcher knife. Don't touch my cookies. There's only 10 of them.
Well, going back to that crispy versus chewy cookie thing, is that more likely to show up in the ingredients, or is that more the cooking time and temperature?
I think the ingredients make a huge difference.
Okay, so what makes it crispy versus what makes it chewy?
Not so much flour. So it's a softer dough. It gets a little thinner when you bake it.
Okay.
My mom's recipe also has, well, first she has a combination of brown sugar and white sugar in equal amounts to the butter in there. And then we put oatmeal in. Oatmeal will help that dry that dough out to make it a little crunchier. Hers are really good Dunker cookies. And too much butter, of course, will make them spread, like I said earlier, and get lacy, but I really prefer the butter. But you have to practice with the dough. You know, when they say that this is an exact science, I beg to differ. You can measure carefully or weigh things out, which I weigh a lot of my mm-hmm. recipes anymore, because that is the way to get accurate. but things affect the flower. Mm-hmm. You know, humidity, the type of flour, is it unbleached? Is it bromated? Is there a little bit of whole wheat flour in there? Right. And you know what? Sifting it three times never hurts. I mean, you can, sifting is a good habit to get into. Sifting your ingredients together to make sure your baking soda and baking powder are equally mixed.
Do you want to weigh the ingredients before or after you sift?
Before. Weigh all your ingredients separately. Make sure you use the tare or the tar, the T-A-R-E button on your scale so that you're not weighing your container when you weigh out your ingredients. But you still have to have a little bit of knowledge about what that dough is like so that you can not over, you know, if it's dry and crumbly, you've got way too much flour in there. It should be smooth and silky. You don't really want to overwork it. This would help the texture also. If you work flour, it gets more gluten strands, and then those gluten strands make things a little tougher. But definitely you want to chill that dough before you bake it. Now, some recipes, you make a dough ball, and this could affect how your Toll House cookies bake also. If you have a ball of dough and you put it in the middle of a pan, always bake a test cookie first. You can add a little flour to one that runs all over the place. But my mom's recipe is sturdy, so you have to stamp it down a little bit, like with the bottom of a drinking glass or your hand, to flatten that dough ball out so that it bakes a little more even.
We've talked about different kinds of sugar. We've hinted at different kinds of chocolate, like milk chocolate or semi-sweet or high cacao or whatever. What about the nut quotient in a lot of chocolate chip cookies? Is it pecan? Is it walnut? Is it macadamia?
It depends on who you're married to, buddy.
Macadamia nuts? Sure. Everything else? Yeah, get absolutely out of my cookie.
Oh, gosh, no. I love
Oh, I
walnuts.
Like pistachios, oh. actually, in cookies.
Oh, and I like pistachios, too. Doug, what's your...
I would go with pistachio or pecan, but I like them naked. I like them with just the chips in it.
Oh, like you beat yours up first before you put them in your cookie.
But will it change the recipe at all? Is it like adding a... You know, if you add flax to your flour, you know, you might need more liquid. Will anything change depending on what kind of nut you add?
No, because you will notice at the end of most recipes, nuts have the word optional next to them. You don't want to put in more nuts than you do chocolate chips or anything like that. But you can easily add a half a cup of nuts to any cookie dough recipe or like... I like them chunky, like big chunks of walnuts. So I add a lot of nuts in my cookies. But do you guys remember when Mrs. Fields opened up stores across the whole United States and she would sell cookies by the pound? You'd have to weigh out a cookie in order to buy it from her. And I have this Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookie. Well, that's really the only way to be fair because nobody makes them accurate by hand. Like you don't have exactly the same size cookies or exactly the same size buns. But she had so many ingredients in her chocolate chip cookie recipes that you definitely, you know, they're very expensive to make. But I have this recipe. And at the top of this, it says Mrs. Fields chocolate chip cookie recipe. So you've got people that went out to eat. You have people that went to a restaurant and they ordered Mrs. Fields cookies and they loved them so much they asked about the recipe. So they said, yeah, the recipe is yours for $2.50. And so this gal is like, great, gives them the credit card, right? She goes home, and it was like $250 for this recipe. So she wrote at the top of the recipe, I had to pay $250 for this recipe. Give it to everybody you know. Payback, you know? But that cookie recipe is awesome. And what she does different is she grinds up some oatmeal and makes some oat flour. She chops up the grates chocolate candy bars really fine, puts that in there, lots of nuts and lots of chocolate chips and two kinds of sugar, the brown sugar and the white sugar and, you know, like 4 pounds of butter or 2 pounds of butter, and they're really, really good cookies. And they make a whole bunch. So they're way better than the Weekend Bakery, which only makes 10, if you like chocolate chip cookies, that is.
Well, one of the biggest attractions of the fair is the, you know, the stand that makes French fries and the stand that makes chocolate chip cookies, and they sell these buckets of them. You know, a family of four couldn't possibly eat one of those buckets, but they do. And so they're hot. They're gooey, actually, when you get them. And they are, I think, testament to how popular chocolate chip cookies are.
The only thing better is chocolate chip cookie dough.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah. They almost never become cookies in my house.
Right. I'm going with that today. Let's stop right there. We're going to say chocolate chip cookie dough is still, no matter how you screw that up, it's better than a screwed up cookie, right?
All right. But hold the egg. We check in with Sue Belcom once a week for Main Street Eats. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Thank you, guys.